Fellowship Church's devotional podcast devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Well, thank you for tuning in. Our passage for today is from Luke 16, and I'm going to read the first 13 verses. He also said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him to him and said, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If, then, you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is in others, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This is an interesting parable that has always kind of fascinated me. But the application Jesus makes here always seemed to me like a non sequitur. In this parable, the dishonest manager is ultimately commended for once again playing fast and loose with his master's possessions. Are we being taught that the end justifies the means, or do whatever it takes to get what we want? Well, I did a bit of research on this because I was curious, and I thought I'd share a little bit of what I learned with you today. For starters, Jesus never commends or encourages dishonesty, least of all in this story. Jesus, once again, is pulling a parable from how things work in the real world. It's a framework, a pattern that his listeners would understand. And to a certain extent, we can as well. The steward made the most of the opportunity that was given to him between his firing and his actual turning over the financials back to his master. The manager is commended not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. The adjective means having or showing sharp powers of judgment, astute. When Jesus sent out his disciples for the first time, he told them to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. I think we all understand our responsibility to the second quality as Christians, but what about the first? How do we display sound judgment? Certainly, we all have access to greater wisdom. The book of James tells us to ask God for it, who gives generously to all. The manager understands his situation and uses the resources at his disposal to make the best situation he can for himself. So, too, are we called to use our resources to make the best situation that we can. This passage refers to unrighteous wealth. It's a word that if you've spent much time in church, you may have heard before, mammon. It's a word that has a negative connotation, a bent towards evil, greed, selfishness. While it's true that the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's also true that throughout Scripture we see evidence of and warnings of the corrupting influence that wealth can have on our lives. Money is not neutral. Wealth will either be used to build God's kingdom, bless those around us, and yes, provide for our daily needs, or will be used as a substitute for God, for His provision, for His security. This is the point of the second part of our passage. We cannot serve both God and money. It is a spiritual fact of life that if we give our lives to bring ourselves wealth primarily, we cannot be serving God. So, to sum it all up, be like the shady steward, in that he recognized the reality of his situation and made the most astute, savvy use of his resources and abilities to set himself up for success. We should also avoid loving our wealth more than God by recognizing the reality of our situation, which is this: we can't take it with us when we die. Then we use the fullest of our resources to build relationships and treasures that will last, namely those that we receive in heaven. Give to the building of God's kingdom. Give to others that they might see in you the graciousness and generosity of Christ. The manager set himself up for this life. We use our shrewdness to set ourselves up for the next life. There's a famous quote from missionary Jim Elliot. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Let's live our lives like that. God, thank you for another creative, interesting, captivating parable, story. God, that shows us the reality of the world, both the natural reality and the spiritual reality. God, help us to remember this, that we cannot serve you and money. And Lord, help us to use the resources that you've entrusted to us. God, to make the most of the opportunities that you've given us. Lord, to build your kingdom, to build up treasures for ourselves that moth and rust cannot destroy, that thieves can't break in and steal, God, but that we can enjoy with you forever. Lord, help us to seek wisdom, to seek greater knowledge of you and how you work. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.